This coming Thursday, our nation will celebrate one of the few national holidays that we can actually participate in. Thanksgiving, in most ways, has been left untouched by the changes that society has undergone. Families still gather together. They still have a meal that's far beyond what they're used to, far beyond what they could actually handle every day if they did it that way. Many people still hold to a tradition of spending time acknowledging things that they're thankful for, much the same way that it's been observed for a hundred plus years. One of the things that has changed in the way that our nation in general celebrates this day is the recognition of the source of those blessings, of the things that they're thankful for. The source of those blessings has changed in many households, in many families, as our nation has become more secular and fewer people self-identify as Christians. There's my PC word for the day. They self-identify as Christians. Fewer and fewer people do that. Fewer people attend church regularly, and many of them focus their Thanksgiving on what they've done, what they have. Maybe what their family has given them, or ways that they benefit personally from things that have happened to them. They're thankful for what their work has produced, or what their family and friends have given them, or what they mean to their life. But that is a change from the way our country used to recognize and observe Thanksgiving. There's a story that I came across as I was studying, researching for this message that I wanted to share with you. It comes from a movie that Jimmy Stewart was in. Many of you are old enough, most of you probably are old enough to know who Jimmy Stewart was, to have seen movies that he was in. As I'm reading what he said, you can probably kind of picture him in your mind saying it in his voice and everything else. But he comes from a time, it's still called the golden age of the movies, when they weren't afraid to talk about values. Most movies actually had a message behind them. They weren't afraid to teach about something that was right or wrong, good or bad. And they recognized God within the movies in many different ways. Now, not all of them were that way even at that time, but there was more of that, where they believed in morals and believed in values and believed in right and wrong. In this movie, he plays someone who is proudly self-sufficient. You know, he takes care of himself. He raised himself up to be someone of substance, at least importance in his area. In the scene that they described in the movie, he and his family are sitting down at a table, sitting down before a meal, a table that's just decked out. I mean, it doesn't say that it was a Thanksgiving meal, but it was like one. I mean, everything was there. Huge table, bountiful spread. And it's a meal that he produced, or was produced from the land that he owned. It was the meat on the table was from animals that he raised. The vegetables were from crops that came off of his land. And again, you can kind of picture him. This is how he started his prayer of thanks for that bounty. Lord, we cleared the land. We plowed it, we sowed it, and we harvested it. We cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel. But we thank you, Lord, just the same for the food that you're about to give us. Thanks. You know, amen. We did this. It's all from our hard work. But I know I'm supposed to thank you, so here's your bone, God. I'll throw your name out there. Yeah, you know, thanks for whatever part you had in making it possible for me to do all of these things. That's kind of the attitude that we see within our society as we approach Thanksgiving. Much more focused on themselves. That movie scene pictured a man who didn't understand the true source of his blessings. And it is a picture that we would find if we could look into many households this coming Thursday, and how they talk about, if they do talk about, Thanksgiving as it was intended, how they approach it. It's really part of a fulfillment of a prophecy that Paul made. You may not think of Paul as being a prophet, but there were prophetic statements that he made in some of his writings. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 1. And I think these are familiar scriptures. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters and proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unthankful in a truly biblical way. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Again, that is more and more a description of the society we see around us and the people that we know. And that isn't by any means all of them. There are some people that still try to recognize the right, but they're becoming more and more of a minority as their country changes. And it wasn't always that way. I've got some historic references that I'm going to share with you of different Thanksgiving proclamations that have made through the history of our country. In 1777, the Continental Congress recommended that Thursday, December 18th, be set aside as a day of solemn thanksgiving and praise. Solemn thanksgiving and praise. Again, recognizing both that they had a lot to be thankful for and recognizing the source. Praise to God. In the first year of his presidency, George Washington issued a proclamation calling for November 26, 1789, to be a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of the Almighty God. During a time when our country was being founded, certainly was blessed by God, we see leaders that recognized that God had a hand in it. Two times, John Adams issued proclamations calling for a day of thanksgiving, fasting, and humiliation, or humbling yourself. Again, recognizing that it wasn't their work that was the source of the bounty, but it was from God. Abraham Lincoln, probably of any president, wrote more strongly and eloquently about how God had a hand in our country and encouraged people to turn to that. I'm going to read a few excerpts from his proclamation on October 3rd of 1863. These are just bits and pieces. It's a much longer piece of work. He wrote, "Which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensitive to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God." Talking about some of the blessings of the country that are so extraordinary in nature that even the most hard-headed had to recognize the providence of the Almighty God. Another spot, he says, "No human counsel has devised or has any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God." And then he called for a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. When the leadership recognizes God's hand, the people will tend to follow. It changes and sharpens the perspective of those that they're leading. JFK wrote in 1963, "On that day, let us gather in sanctuaries dedicated to worship and in homes blessed by family affection to express our gratitude for the glorious gifts of God. And let us earnestly and humbly pray that he will continue to guide and sustain us in the great unfinished tasks of achieving peace, justice, and understanding among all men and nations, and ending misery and suffering wherever they exist. 1963, 1985, Ronald Reagan. It is in that spirit that I now invite all Americans to take part again in this beautiful tradition with its roots deep in our history and deeper still in our hearts. We manifest our gratitude to God for the many blessings he has showered upon our land and upon its people. Let us thank God for our families, friends, and neighbors, for the joy of this very festival we celebrate in his name. Again, recognizing that Thanksgiving was a celebration in God's name. 1985. Let every house of worship in the land and every home and every heart be filled with the spirit of gratitude and praise and love on this Thanksgiving Day. But of course, our society has changed, our leaders have changed. And probably in this case, the worst example, I will say, came from President Obama, who never recognized God as the source of our blessings in this way in 8 Thanksgiving proclamations that he gave. He recognized that there was a need to be thankful. He recognized that there were people to be thankful for and singled out different people within those proclamations. But he did not recognize God as the source of those Thanksgiving blessings. And we can see our nation mirrors that change, has mirrored that change and that separation from God. All of those proclamations reflected the thoughts of someone who at least had a working knowledge of God's word and how Thanksgiving was viewed in those words. They recognized, and some of it was them, some of it was their speechwriters, but they still gave the speech. They recognized the relationship between Thanksgiving and praise and God. Today we're going to take a look at some of those words from the Bible as a reminder and as encouragement for us of how we should approach this holiday. Even though we can participate in it, we don't need and we shouldn't make our participation solely the way that those around us do. It isn't just about eating a big meal and then going and vegetating in front of the TV to watch a football game. There is more to it than that. And I have faith that those of us here understand that. I don't believe I need to convince anyone of where our blessings come from and that we need to point our thoughts to him. But what we're going to do this afternoon is lay out some of the principles that we find in the Bible, some of the aspects of Thanksgiving that are discussed there to help us, to deepen the way we approach this day, to give us something to think about so that we don't just float along, but we actually make it something that is special. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 17. Think. The passage we're going to read here actually is a warning for us. Not just a story of something that happened during Christ's time here on earth, not just something that was about the Jews, but a warning for us as well. In Luke chapter 17, we're going to begin reading in verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers and stood afar off, but they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that they did go. They went to the priests and they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at Christ's feet, giving him thanks. And this man was a Samaritan. And Jesus said to him, "Were there not 10 who were cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to that one man, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." As I said, there are lessons there for us. One of them certainly is don't take God's blessings for granted. Don't take what we have that's special, that is a gift from God, and take it for granted. That can be His Holy Spirit, the influence that it allows Him in our life, the strength and support that we can receive from God through that Spirit. It can be many other things, but 1 in 10 in this example recognized God and was truly thankful for the blessing that he had been given. 1 in 10. Don't take those blessings for granted. We see in the example of that Samaritan two parts of what he did. He gave thanks to God. Through Christ, he gave thanks to God. But he also glorified God. Glorified God. In other words, he expanded on it. It's one thing to sit around at the dinner table and say, "This is what I'm thankful for. This and this and this and this." Or to say in your prayers, "Father, thank you for these things." And it's another to expound, if you want to say it that way, expand on how that glorifies God. How mighty He is to be able to give you these things, to have done that, how blessed you are, how thankful you are. It's a difference between just saying the words and showing God what's in your heart. Showing Him what's in your heart. Another lesson we see from this section of scriptures is that man's response to the blessing that he had received led to something greater than the other people. Christ said, "Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has created something different for you than it did for those other 9. Now, there's an argument or discussion in the commentaries about what that meant. Whether it might have been possible that the cleansing of those other 9 wasn't permanent. That because they didn't come back and recognize where that blessing came from and give thanks, that it was temporary, that leprosy returned to them. And it was from that man, he was cleansed completely. Or the other side of that, the other part of that discussion, is that maybe Christ is talking about a completely different spiritual side of the relationship. That all 10 of them were physically cleaned, but that man had a deeper relationship opened up to him because he responded to a blessing with the proper kind of thanks. And that's certainly a lesson for us. Going beyond just saying the words to having a thankful heart changes our relationship, changes us and who we are. There are 2 Hebrew words that are translated thanks or thanksgiving. One of them, the one that's used the most time, carries with the meaning to cast or throw something, to confess and to thank. One of the descriptions that I found is it conveys a picture not of just being thankful for something, but of making it known to others. That there's also an act of confession with this type of thanksgiving, or giving thanks. A commentator said, it pictures someone down on their knees with their hands lifted to God, giving thanks and also asking for, confessing that he doesn't deserve it. That word is tied most closely to giving thanksgiving for being forgiven from sin. The other word that isn't used quite as often, but it actually comes from or has a root of that first word, is more focused just on the act of giving thanks, less on the confession side. There isn't that you're giving thanks because you were sinned and now you're forgiven. It's you're giving thanks because you want to give thanks. Because you just see the awesomeness of what's around you and you want to give thanks. And as we go through this message, there will be sections of it where we can see the distinction continued, that distinction continued through some of the examples that God has given us of how to give thanks properly. That there is a thanks for forgiveness of sin, and there's a thanks that just comes because you're thankful. Turn now to Psalms 50. Read another section of scripture there. Psalms 50, 5-0. We'll begin reading in verse 7. Hear, my people, and I'll speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am your God. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I'm not giving you a warning about the number, the quantity of the offerings that you're giving me. I'm not going to rebuke you about those, because you're giving those all the time. You're doing those continually. I will not take a bull from your house or goats out of your field, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all of the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? God saying, do I need that? Do I need you to offer these offerings to me? Is it something I need to live? Then in verse 14, he says, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Offer to God, make an offering to God of thanksgiving. God wasn't talking to them about the number of sacrifices they were giving. He was talking to them about how they were giving those offerings, how they were expressing their relationship with God. Offer an offering to God of thanksgiving. It's very interesting. Verses 14 and 15, I found some interesting ways that this was described in a couple other translations that I want to share with you. The New International Version has these as sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver you, and you will honor me. There is a thank offering that's included in part of the sacrificial offerings that God gave to Israel. A specific thank offering that we're going to talk about a little bit later. But that's what he's talking about here is, I want you to give thank offerings. And the message behind that is, I want you to give thank offerings the way that I intended for you to give them. God was looking for something from them. And it wasn't the quantity of offerings. It was the heart behind the offerings that he was looking for, that he wasn't seeing, that they were lacking. And he wanted them to recognize that and to turn their hearts to him. The Message Bible, I think, finds the poetry in these two verses. You know, Psalms were songs, psalms, poems, written to be beautiful, not just to convey a message. We don't always get that in our translations. But I think the Message Bible does a good job of finding that from the original language. And this is what it has for verses 14 and 15. Spread for me a banquet of praise. Serve the high God a feast of kept promises. And call for help when you're in trouble. I'll help you, and you'll honor me. You'll honor me by asking. You'll honor me by showing that you know that you need me to help. In other words, you'll glorify me by the asking, by not thinking that you're self-sufficient, that you can do it on your own, that it comes from your own hands. God is telling them and telling us that the underlying purpose behind what he asks for us is to create not someone who just follows the law because it's the law, but to create a heart in us and a mind in us that's turned to him. The message that we just read in these scriptures is repeated, really, in Micah chapter 6, and I think Micah chapter 6 is probably a more familiar passage than this was. But we're going to go there once I get through all these minor prophets and find it. Micah chapter 6. We're going to read verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and he's shown you what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly within our God, or with our God. Again, a message that God's whole plan, his plan with Israel, his plan with us, isn't to just teach us that these are the laws, just follow them and everything, you'll be great. But it's to change our heart. To change our heart. And this offering of thanksgiving, the way the Bible talks about thanksgiving, is part of that process. And we're going to dig into that a little bit more, this offering of thanksgiving. Leviticus 1 through 7 lays out the sacrificial system in great detail. And I think many times there are misconceptions about the sacrifices that God gave Israel. Misconceptions that we just think all they were about was paying for sin, covering some form of uncleanliness, and that God commanded them at specific times, and that's what all the sacrifices were God commanding at this time, you give this many birds, you give this many goats and sheep, and this many cattle, and this much grain, and this kind of cake. And that we see it all as just God giving out, this is what I want you to do at this point in time, and this is how I want you to do it. And there is a part of the sacrificial system that is that way. But there's another class of offering that isn't like that. The class that we're most familiar with, I think that we deal with most in our teachings, would be those called the sin or the trespass offerings. We deal with those in the holy days, and we talk about those quite a bit. But there is a class that wasn't triggered by sin and was just strictly voluntary offerings. Voluntary means of giving thanks to God. They're called the sweet savor offerings because they're described that way in different places. They're called that because they were an offering that God saw as something that was sweet, savory, and enjoyable to God because when it came to him. And it was that way because there wasn't any sin associated with it. It was an offering that didn't occur because of sin. It occurred for other reasons. It was offered by someone who wanted to give that offering rather than they were required to give that offering. And when you start talking about giving offerings, giving up wealth, animals, whatever, as an offering to God, strictly because you wanted to do that, it's an indication of someone's heart that's turning in the right direction, that's turning toward God, that's putting more focus on that relationship than their wealth. And they're making that sacrifice in that offering. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 7. We'll read specifically about the Thanksgiving offering. Leviticus chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 11. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which you shall give to the Lord. If you offer it for thanksgiving, then you will offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Beside the cakes, as an offering, you will offer unleavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of this peace offering. And from it, the person giving the offering shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering to the Lord, and then it shall belong to the priest. So the offering was to the Lord, but it was given to the priest, who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. The flesh of the sacrifice, verse 15, of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the next morning. If you dig into this, if you sit and meditate on this and you think about this, there are a number of lessons that we can pull from this, a number of things that we can see about how God views thanksgiving. First of all, it begins with a desire for peace. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings. The thank offering was one of the peace offerings. So there was a category called peace offerings, offerings that were designed by God to bring peace between the person giving the offering and God. And one of those offerings, one of the ways that peace occurred, was through a thanksgiving offering, an offering of thanks. As I've said, that offering shows a heart that's turning toward God, that's putting that relationship with God as a priority. When you give like that, when you give to God, when you're not forced to, when it's your own choice, it turns us away from the human desire of wanting more, of always wanting more, trying to hoard our wealth, mine, and keep it to ourselves. But giving it back to its source, recognizing the source. There are many driven people in this world. Most people that achieve something in this world have a level of drive. They like to conquer goals. And then they like to move on to the next goal, to conquer the next goal. And they move on to the next, and the next, and the next. And they're really in constant struggle and constant turmoil, because they're looking for the next thing that they can do, the next thing they can conquer. God gives them and gives us an offering of thanksgiving that by doing it, you have to slow down. You have to turn away from that quest for the next goal. And again, you have to think about how important that relationship with God is. And through those things, you do achieve a measure of peace. There's a lot to be said for being goal-oriented and using goals to move forward and better yourself physically, spiritually, in many, many different ways. But if it's not balanced, it becomes a constant struggle and you don't have peace in your life. I've known people, I'm sure that there's been times in my life when I've been that way. And there's not peace. And one of the products of giving this type of offering of thanksgiving is peace. Momentarily, right? We'll talk about that a little bit more, but it doesn't guarantee lasting peace in your life. But while you're participating in that offering of thanksgiving, it does give you a chance to have peace. One of the other things that we see from this is that the offering wasn't just one thing. It wasn't just, if you're going to give this offering of thanksgiving, give this. It was, well, there'll be a part of it that's an animal. There'll be a part of it that's unleavened bread. There'll be a part of it that's leavened bread. And each of those have a meaning. Each of those have a reason for them. Each of them have a use. But I think as we talk about thanksgiving and how you give an offering of thanksgiving, God is saying, you can give me this offering in a number of different ways. I'm not telling you this is how, the only way that I will accept an offering of thanksgiving. I'm going to give you flexibility. Again, because it's an offering you're voluntarily giving. Show me your heart. Really, that's what God's saying with this offering of thanks. Show me your heart. You can do that in a number of different ways, but show me your heart. Show me where it lies. I have a couple more things. But another thing that we can find in this section of Scripture about this offering is that it's an offering that God intended to be shared. One of the commentaries that I read, and I didn't have the time to check and verify all of this, so I'm going to take it that they were right. One of the commentaries said that the peace offering is the only offering that is shared. That all the other ones, you gave the offering, it was burned or destroyed or used and sent to God. This offering isn't strictly given to God. We find that certainly there was part of it that was burned, but the flesh was eaten, the flesh was shared. When you read about how this was applied, it was a family thing, in many ways like Thanksgiving. The family would come and eat the flesh of the animal. But you also see that the priest was given for their use. So biblically, Thanksgiving is supposed to be shared. It isn't supposed to be something that you just celebrate yourself, that just comes to you or you just give between you and God, but that it's shared between many people. That a Thanksgiving blessing, Thanksgiving offering, should be a blessing or is a blessing to many people, to God, and to many of those around us. God wants us to reach out with our Thanksgiving. When he says, share this, he wants us to reach out. If you remember when we talked earlier about the meaning of the word thanks, part of that meaning of the word was to throw, to reach, to extend your hand. And we see that recognized and followed in the example of the thanks offering that we've just read about. Reach out with your thanks. And then one final thing about this, at least that I was able to see, is that there's also maybe a warning. There's a difference. I'll tell you what I think the difference is after we read through some scriptures here. Maybe you'll come up with something different. But there is a difference between part of this offering and the other peace offerings. We'll begin in verse 15. We've already read it, but we'll start there and read from there. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering, so the flesh for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it's offered. He'll not leave any of it until the morning. But then verse 16 continues, but if the sacrifice of the offering, and it's talking about a different kind of offering, if this sacrifice is an offering of a vow or an offering of a voluntary sacrifice, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers the sacrifice. But on the next day, whatever's left can still be eaten. And the remainder of the flesh for the sacrifice on the third day had to be burned by fire. So we find for the thank offering, you've got the day. Eat whatever you've offered, but that's it. When it's done, it's got to be gone. Other peace offerings, eat it today, that focus today, but if there's some left over, you can have it the next day. And then by the third day, you really need to just destroy what's left, if there's anything left over. And again, I really didn't find anything in commentaries or any way that could really explain why that difference is. And the only thing that I can see, and again, this is if you have other ideas, this would be a great thing to come and talk about after services. It'd be a fun thing to talk about during fellowship. But is that Thanksgiving isn't something that it's easy to maintain that attitude for long. As humans, we don't keep Thanksgiving. We have to really struggle to remain in that attitude. We can be thankful. We can actually give this offering, or we can get before God and give it, but then to maintain it for more than a period of time before the world comes in or our carnal nature comes in is difficult. Again, give it some thought. If you come up with something different, awesome. Let's talk about it. But there is, regardless of the meaning, there is a difference between how God views that and he views those other offerings. This offering of thanksgiving isn't just an Old Testament idea. It continues into the New Testament as well. And we'll look at a section of scripture here now that talks about that. We'll turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews, 13 verse 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, by Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Now stop here and say, praise and thanksgiving are closely linked, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Similar word roots, similar ideas behind them. You can't have true thanksgiving without praise. True praise puts you in an attitude of thanksgiving. Therefore, verse 15 again, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise or thanksgiving to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share. As part of your thanksgiving sacrifice, part of your thanksgiving offering, don't forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. He says, let us continually offer. Let's go beyond what was expected in the Old Testament, that maybe you can hang on to it for a day. Let's recognize that we have the ability to make this attitude of thanksgiving extend longer than that. We have God's Spirit that can move our heart, that can change us. Let's strive for, he's saying, an attitude where we are continually offering offering of thanks to God. And that's certainly where we're now veering away from what our country does of coming up with one day where we do that, and then the next day focusing on greed because it's Black Friday, right? But we're told our goal should be to apply these lessons that we've read and open our heart so that we are constantly, continually reflecting an attitude of thanksgiving toward God, giving thanks to his name, right? That's where our thanks should go. That's where the true thanks of a Christian is centered, on God and what he's doing, what he has done. And then, again, verse 16 saying, you've got to share it. It's got to be more than just something you do for yourself. You've got to share this thanksgiving, these blessings. Take action, right? Take action is what he's saying. Do good. Share with others. These verses tell us that thanksgiving is praising God, doing good to others, and sharing with others. Thanksgiving does bring with it many benefits. Benefits to us, benefits to those around us, benefits to Christ and our Father. They benefit from us giving proper thanksgiving because they then can have a better relationship with us. And that's their desire, to have a true, godly, deep, complete relationship with each one of us. This Thursday is a national holiday. Let's enjoy that day. But let's not after that, and before that, fall back into the human problem of always finding something to be dissatisfied about and focusing on the things that dissatisfy us and letting that be what overrides everything else in our life. Let's take these lessons and apply them to both the observance of that national holiday and the way that we live our life. Let's learn from those lessons. Let's not let Thanksgiving just be one day in our life in this coming year. We have God's Spirit. We have Christ's help. We can do better. We can do more. Let's voluntarily make an attitude of thanksgiving something that's a part of us, something we think about every day. Let that attitude and that offering bring us the peace that God promises us it will bring. Let it bring us the restored relationships that God promises us that it will bring. Let that offering of thanksgiving be written in our minds and in our hearts, bringing us closer to the person, to being the person who pleases and glorifies our Father.